in chapter 2. As you're finding your way to Philippians, let me say this. On Sunday, March the 5th, that's just in a couple of weeks, we're inviting the community to gather with us for our relaunch here at Robertsville. Now, we've been building up to this day for a long time, and it is just right around the corner. On that Sunday, we'll worship like we usually do at 10 o'clock right here, and then we'll share lunch afterwards. We won't have life groups on that day. There'll be some inflatables that are set up for the kids, and there'll be a photo booth that's set up down by the gathering place for families and friends to make some memories, okay? So we're looking to have a good time together, and I'd say this, that the excitement and the anticipation is definitely building, amen? For many of us, as we work and as we prepare, as we pray for that day. Now, someone might argue that a Sunday like that is really designed to draw a little bit of a different crowd from the community. I've certainly had those thoughts. But thinking of it that way doesn't seem to be quite adequate. For as different as it is, March the 5th is set apart, now hear this, not so much because we'll be welcoming the community, but because we'll be gathered here to meet Jesus. That is what gathering on Sundays, the Lord's Day, is really about. I'm finding that Sundays are really a part of what has become a regular, daily, humble walk with Jesus. You really cannot take this day and set it apart from a daily, regular, humble walk with Jesus. And that walk with Jesus leads me together with Jesus's people on this day to focus our attention and our affections on Him, to lift Him up in our worship, in our songs, in our praying, in our speaking. We're really seeking to lift up Jesus, even in our responding. Jesus has to be lifted up in our lives as we respond to Him. Isn't that true? We are here to meet with Jesus Christ. This is His place. This is His time. And I struggle sometimes, and I've had a conversation with a couple of you about the time frame of worship, that the Holy Spirit has to fit within this start time and this finish time. And so, Holy Spirit, if you've got something you want to do, this is when you can do it. But after that, when we hit that end time, then we're going to have to move on to other things. I know it's important to have a time frame, but honestly, this is His time. And He really can do with it what He chooses to do. If He wants to quiet this pastor so that He can speak to our hearts, then there needs to be that sensitivity. So that means that our agenda is always open to Him to enter into it. You know, we stopped printing orders of worship a long time ago, and part of the reason why we haven't started back is because this is His time, this is His agenda, and He can step in and interrupt that at any point. And He can go to work in us and on us at any point. It's His word that we open our ears to when we're gathered in this place. And we sing some great songs, and I love the music that we sing. But it's really His words and from His word that we open our hearts and our ears to Him. It's His Holy Spirit that convicts our hearts. It's His grace that opens up new doors before us as we're gathered here in this place. And so as we approach Sundays, let's get that order right. Jesus is greater and we are lesser. Jesus is preeminent and we are those who submit. When Jesus speaks, we listen. When He convicts, we deal with it honestly. And we confess. When he instructs, we obey and we follow. Amen? Amen. When we welcome people here, it's important that we understand that in meeting us, they are encountering Jesus. If you're a believer, then the fellowship that we experience together on Sundays is brought about by the Spirit of Christ in us. Yeah, we love the people that we gather with. It's great to see one, shake hands, get a great big hug. The scriptures say a holy kiss. I don't know how much holy kissing's going on, but we love being together. We love greeting one another, and it's because the very Spirit of Christ inhabits us, and he causes that kind of deep, meaningful fellowship to happen just in the meeting of us. That's wonderful. When I gather with you on Sundays, I'm reminded that it's through a humble daily walk that Jesus has brought me here into this place and meets me here in this place. I encounter the Lord here in this place with you in ways that I don't encounter him Monday through Saturday. And in some way, that's what keeps me coming back, is because I want to continue to meet the Lord together here in this place with you. I want to meet him. And that humble daily walk with Christ, it's like Jesus, as I walk humbly with him, it's like he is leading me back to this place every Sunday. That daily humble walk with Jesus brings me here. Now in Philippians chapter 2, we find what I believe is a description of a humble walk with Jesus. So find your way there if you haven't already. I'll pick up in verse 1. Just to give a little bit of a larger context there. And today I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. Does anybody ever read from the Amplified Bible? Yeah, I see some hands out there. It's a great version. I enjoy it. And I want to share from there today. Verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement and comfort in Christ, as there certainly is in abundance, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship that we share in the Spirit, we've already talked about that. If there is any great depth of affection or compassion, make my joy complete, Paul writes, by being of the same mind, having the same love toward one another, knit together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel. The good news regarding salvation through faith in Christ. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility, being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Verse 5, have this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Lord, bless your word as we read it, as we pay attention to it, as we open our lives to it, as we take it seriously, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm working through a book entitled Return to Me, Says the Lord. It's written by Dr. Gregory Frizzell, and it's a 21-day journey focused on more surrender, more power, and more passion for God. Now, I have to tell you, if you know me, you know that a 21-day journey really is more like a 21-month journey. I'm making my way through it slowly, but God's really speaking to me. This past week, pride was identified as a subtle enemy to a humble walk with Christ. It's subtle because the forms that it takes can get a foothold in our lives with very little fanfare. And before we know it, pride has taken a foothold. You'll remember, Dr. Frizzell, last year we went over to Woodland Park on a Sunday morning and worshiped together there with them and heard him speak, and it was a very challenging time and a very blessed time as the Lord began to do some work in our lives. Well, in this book that Frizzell has written, he points out several forms of pride. And now these caught my attention because, again, The kind of pride I'm talking about is not the kind of arrogance in people that just kind of reaches out and smacks you in the face. Or, you know, just really arrogant, prideful, haughty kind of people. What I'm talking about is a kind of spiritual pride that kind of works its way into our lives. It doesn't matter if we're young or old. Pride has a way of working itself into our lives, which really gets in the way of having a humble kind of walk with Christ. So Dr. Frizzell points out several of these that caught my attention. One of them is this. It is a strong desire. Pride is a strong desire to impress people through appearance, money, status symbols, or accomplishments. That's a form of spiritual pride that can kind of get down in us if we're not careful, if we're not paying attention, and if the Lord is not helping us to know what's happening in our lives. Well, a second kind of pride, spiritual pride, is any hint of self-righteousness, or he uses this word, over-assessment of our spirituality or our power. A third form of pride that he describes is a tendency to spiritually coast. It's kind of like if you've ever been in a car that just kind of coasts along a highway in neutral, or maybe you've been in a boat and you've cut the engine and that boat just kind of coasts into place. Well, he describes this as a spiritual coasting. And you abandon the hunger and the thirsting that you have had before of a greater sense of holiness or a greater closeness with the Lord, a hunger and a thirst for the Lord. And then another form of pride that he identified is this, an attitude of spiritual complacency that sees little need for ongoing confession, for ongoing cleansing of our lives, and for ongoing spiritual growth that the Lord would want to bring about. Hearing these, you might find the Holy Spirit is kind of convicting you of maybe one of these sources of pride. I know the third one is the one that got my attention. That's the one that really convicted me. And let me remind you of what that third one is. It's a pride that is a tendency to spiritually coast and abandon the hunger and thirst for the Lord. You say, well, Brian, you're a pastor, you're a preacher. Come on. Pastors and preachers ought to have those things worked out a long time ago. Listen, I'm human just like you are. And the pride, now listen, that's what it is. It's pride, a kind of a subtle pride that can work its way in, that just causes me to coast, be okay coasting spiritually, being fine with no longer really being hungry and thirsty for the Lord. I can get by just doing my work. I can get by just doing my ministry. And that's enough of the Lord for me. And any time that I have kind of adopted that mode of operation, it has not been long before this kind of pride. And I don't know if I've ever really even called it that, but that's what it is, a kind of pride that works its way in that causes me to just be okay coasting. That's what I'm talking about. It's subtle how these things can quench the Lord's Spirit in us and can replace a humble walk with the Lord with a prideful attitude toward the Lord. And sometimes that prideful attitude toward the Lord causes us to really bow up at Him, causes us to really feel like that we have a right to be angry and indignant toward the Lord. That kind of pride that gets down in us. And when that kind of selfish pride comes in, that humble walk with the Lord just seems to just quietly move to the side. And man, when I read that this week, it convicted me. I was like, Lord, I need to spend some time with you, kind of laying this out before you and confessing my sin before you. Well, in this passage, verse 3 says to do nothing out of selfish and empty conceit or being arrogant or prideful. Verse 3 says that if this has anything to do with Christ, there can be no pride there. Do nothing out of pride or selfishness or empty conceit or arrogance or self-righteousness, but with an attitude of humility. This is what Paul is really wanting to call attention to. In chapter 2, it goes on from this short passage to describe what Jesus actually did when he poured himself out and emptied himself of all of his deity and all of the glory that he had as the Son of the Heavenly Father, seated at his right hand in heaven. And so what Paul is setting up is that Christ really lived out a kind of humility before us, and that what he desires in us is a humble walk with him. Humbly, daily walking with Jesus allows him to keep our pride in check. You see, I'm not able to keep my pride in check. I'm not able to. And if tomorrow I wake up and by some misfortune I've become distracted or I've become discouraged or I've become disappointed, the very first thing to go is a humble walk with Christ. And the very first thing to rise up is a kind of arrogance and pride in me that causes me to go this way while Jesus is here. The fact of the matter is that humbly, daily walking with Jesus allows him to keep my pride in check. I cannot keep my pride in check, and I need Jesus to do it. And by humbly daily walking with Jesus, it's allowing him to work in my life, to work with my pride, bringing out of me his character. And that's really what Paul wants us to hear, is that there is a character of Christ that Paul is wanting to come out of these Philippian believers. By Christ keeping our pride in check, it allows him to bring his character out of us. Now, verses 3 and 4 describe what that character accomplishes. It says that a humble walk with Jesus, where he is able to keep my pride in check and bring out his character out of me, causes us to regard others as more important than ourselves, looking out for the interests of others. So this is a way that I don't even know if we can set that as a goal. Okay, I'm going to seek to make people more important than myself. You know, a lot of times if we tried to do that on our own, it might even look like we had a little bit of an issue like having a martyr complex. You know, I want to be the martyr, and so I'm going to make everybody else more important than me. That's not what this passage is talking about. It's actually a kind of humility that Jesus brings out of us that causes us to live like Christ toward other people. And what Jesus did is that he laid his life down, his very life down, for all people. And that's what Paul is getting at, is this kind of humility that Jesus brings out of us. It causes us to see others as more important than ourselves, or keeping our pride in check so that we can see people as more important than ourselves, looking out for the interests of others instead of looking out for my own interests. My pride calls me to look out for my own interests. What is in it for me? How will I benefit? What will be the gain for me? How good will that make me look? And what Jesus really wants to do is kind of squash that and bring out of us his character, a humility that Christ brings out of us, not that we fabricate on our own. And verse 5 indicates that kind of humility is the very attitude that was in Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, here's why this idea of humility matters. When we meet the community, the very first reason why humility matters is that we want them to be encountering the very attitude that was in Jesus, not our pride. A lot of things that we can be prideful about here in this place. We can make a whole list of things to be proud of. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but many times what can happen is we want people to encounter the object of our pride, not the person within, and that is Jesus. Why does humility matter? First of all, we want them to be encountering Jesus, not us. It's about them encountering all the things that we, it's not about the community encountering all the things we might take pride in. It's all about them encountering the presence of Jesus in this place and his presence in us. Does that make sense? Our pride replaced by Christ's humility. I think that's what it means when Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, is how Paul describes it. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The old Paul that you knew, he doesn't live anymore. He's been crucified with Christ. It is Jesus that lives in me. And so what people encounter when they encounter us is the Christ that lives in us. And when the Lord begins to deal with our pride and he convicts us, and we have to come clean with God and say, yes, you're hitting the nail on the head in my life and I need to confess it. I need you to help me and cleanse me, Lord Jesus. Then that allows the Lord Jesus to occupy us even more fully. And Christ can live in us even more fully. Well, there are other reasons why this kind of humility of Christ matters. A daily humble walk with Christ ensures that our pride is crucified. And I need that in my life. I don't know about you. I need to know that there's a way for my human pride to be crucified. And so a humble daily walk with Jesus means that Jesus is putting to death my pride. Why a third reason why humility matters? Our openness to the community grows out of the humility Christ brings forth in us. Church, we can think of ourselves as friendly people, and that's a good thing. You can't really buy that sort of characteristic, and I'm pleased that that's a part of our DNA. We're friendly people. Sometimes friendliness can kind of err on the side of like over-friendliness, you know, where you swamp people with your friendliness. And that can sometimes be more of a turnoff than it can be an invitation to fellowship or to community. But when Christ is working in us and working through us, through a humble walk with him, putting our pride to death, then what they're really encountering is the friendship of who? Jesus. Jesus. Our openness to the community, the kind of openness that the Lord wants his people to have, it grows out of the humility that Christ brings forth in us. Our pride crucified, a humble daily walk with Jesus. March the 5th is coming, and there's excitement and anticipation that naturally builds and grows. But what I really want to experience more than anything else together with you on that day is Jesus. I want to experience him in worship, in our singing, in our praying as his word is opened. We're going to start a new kind of series in our worship beginning next week called Shift. And it's just kind of that move that the Holy Spirit has in us that shifts us from one place to his preferred place. And so we're just going to be looking at some different themes over the next 4 or 5 weeks with that theme. And I'm praying and believing the Lord will bless our time together. He'll be present with us, and he will be here for us to encounter. I can't think of a better reason to get out of bed, put my clothes on, drive here to this place, walk in the door, than to experience Jesus Christ and the work that he can do in my life to change me and transform me more into the person that he wants me to be. Did you know that when Jesus is able to transform you, into the person that he wants you to be. That's good for you. It's good for everybody. And the Lord really wants to do that work of transformation in our hearts. To that end, Lord, we give ourselves to you today in worship. Lord, as we wrap up this time, continue your work, Lord, in us. Lord, we want to give ourselves to you. We want to put our pride to the side that would cause us to just say, no, I don't really need to respond in any way to that message. I'm good. I'm okay. The way that I've been with the Lord has worked out pretty good for me most of my life. And yet, Lord, I believe that you want to take us deeper. You want to take us further than we've ever been with you before. And for that to happen, you need to be able to have more of us. And our human pride that kind of subtly moves in the way, Lord, takes up space that you need in us. And so today, Lord, might we respond to you. I don't know what that looks like for each person. I know what it looks like for me. And so, Lord, today, I want to tell you that I want to respond to your Spirit at work in me and in our midst today. Lord, you continue to fashion us as you want to. We are your people. This is your church, your body, your bride. Lord, we want to be strong. We want to be healthy. We want to be sustained, Lord. We want to be beautiful before you. We want to be for you, Lord Jesus. And so you come and you have your way in us and among us and beyond us, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a close.